Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast. Someday we're going to really tighten this whole thing up.
Well, I was going to say arts and podcast culture.
With Kate Rhodes.
And Mason Waswas.
And a lot of cats making a lot of noises.
Just a couple cats.
Yeah. All right. Here's the art problem of the week. What happens when somebody you know knows something about something that's going on and they tell you something's going on but then they won't tell you what it is to torture you psychologically and physically?
I don't think they're meaning to torture you. I think they're just like, they're having a problem where it's too exciting for them or big for them that they know they shouldn't say anything.
So they just tell you they have news, but they won't tell you what it is.
So
you
can just sit there and feel responsible to the person
and
that
cry.
They just can't do it. It just wouldn't be right.
They shouldn't have brought it up in the first place.
That is
hypothetical person.
That is true. And I'm sure that person, after seeing the response from the other person, would feel really regretful. They feel so regretful that they feel like crying a little bit.
Don't. Then we're both going to cry.
No, we're not.
Hypothetically. Moving on. Has this happened to you, listener? Call in. Let us know. Speaking of listeners, maybe we could just have a whole show about listener feedback, because the Monster Drawing Rally was this last week and got a lot of listener feedback. Don't remember what any of it was.
There was listener feedback to the podcast about Monster Drawing Rally?
No, just listener feedback from people in person at the Monster Drawing Rally.
I should have gotten a ticket as a press, as like a podcaster.
May soon they would have let you in. Anyhow.
Got to cut all that out.
Very successful this year because I got to chit chat with Gay Outlaw.
Gay Outlaw.
Are you aware of how many people?
She's fucking awesome.
Are you aware of how many people in our Bay Area art scene here are from Alabama?
I'm not. Are there more than just one? Is Gay from Alabama?
Gay Outlaw, my good friend C.A. Greenlee.
Oh, yeah.
Kara Q. Smith.
Oh.
From Art Practical. All from Alabama.
Cool.
Good job, Alabamans.
Good job,
Alabamans. Go Razorbacks.
What's Razorbacks?
Oh, no, that's Arkansas. Huge faux pas. My bad.
They're going to be pissed off.
Oh, God. That was like saying fuck you to them. Okay.
Is there a problem with Arkansas and Alabama's?
I don't think so. I think Arkansas has some its internal
issue.
Or maybe Alabama has some internal rivalry between North and South Alabama.
I think you need to do more research before you even say anything about Arkansas or Alabama.
Well, I'm just saying, like, Ohio and Michigan had a massive rivalry. There was a war, the Ohio-Michigan War.
Why?
Over the Toledo Strip, which was a small piece of land that has present day the city of Toledo in it, and they were fighting over who got this land as part of their state before they were actually states.
Wow.
It was a mostly bloodless war. The only blood that was shed was there was some kind of kerfuffle and a guy got stabbed with a penknife. But there was a lot of taunting and a lot of building up of militias. It's really fantastic. I'll put a link to the Wikipedia page for that down in the underworld. But point is, I don't think that there's an interstate or
the interstate is the highway.
Rivalry between Alabama and Arkansas. That's all I'm saying. But I'm very sorry to confuse the two.
Anyhow, the point being, there's a lot of art world people in the Bay Area that are from Alabama, and that seems like a new piece of information we all wanted to know.
We should have a panel about it.
Let's bring all three of them onto the show.
They got good moss down there.
What other kind of feedback did you get?
Someone asked me at an event last week if I knew Kevin Killian.
Yeah.
So, do you?
I know of him. We're not tight buddies. He's a playwright. He has done a lot of small theater productions at multiple galleries, like at the Arts Commission. He's done a few projects there. He recently did or worked with Will Brown for their Matrix show at the Berkeley Art Museum.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote the play there.
Oh, fuck.
And performed it. And that actually, Lindsay White, who is a member of Will Brown and an awesome artist in her own right, just posted the whole video of that play on Facebook this week.
Oh, there you go. Okay, we'll have the link to that.
We should link to it. Actually, yeah, I haven't watched it all yet, but I did. Yeah, gotta love those guys. Will Brown, that is. We should interview Kevin maybe sometime. He's an interesting character, interesting person. Artist.
Killian? Yeah. Gay guy. Love it. I would love to have every gay person in the Bay Area on our show.
Okay, you hear that, gay people?
Oh, okay.
If anyhow, you want to write in and let us know your email address. Yeah.
Actually, I went by Galleria de la Raza this week.
Oh, good. Is their show
never
still
been
up,
there before.
Q Sides?
It is, and it was so cool. I really loved it.
I'm sure it was great.
I don't know. Sometimes I think I go to art things and I'm just in a special mood in a special way where I'm just like wide open.
Oh, that's awesome.
And my heart and mind are open to the work. And this
Kate really does mean what she's saying, even though you can hear her talking or laughing kind of in the background.
I'm laughing at my own self, at my like.
But she's
zappy.
Being sincere.
Totally.
Very sincere.
No.
So don't take
oh,
it
they
as.
No. They can't have.
I don't know.
If
not
this
everyone
is the
who
first
listens
episode,
knows you.
Maybe if this is the first episode,
right.
They listen.
They're going to hear you laughing in the background, talking about.
I'm
sincerity,
serious, though.
But you are serious. So tell us more.
Anyhow,
this is the way that she keeps herself from crying at every minute, just by laughing in the background. Right? Kind of like, oh.
Sometimes. But point is, I loved it. It was such. I just really loved it. It was photographs that are like. I'm going to explain this so badly, but they're recreating album covers.
Oh.
Hey, this is Kate from the future telling you that I forgot to mention the names of all the artists in the show that we're talking about. So their names are Vero Maiano, DJ Brown Amy, otherwise known as Amy Martinez, and Carrie Orvick. I think those are all the artists in the show.
Anyhow, point is, there's a series of photographs in the show that are based on these album covers, but they were like recreating them with queer people.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And Persia was in one of them.
Oh, so the real people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Could you identify the album covers? I haven't seen the show
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, they have. They show the album covers oh, okay. there, too. And it was just awesome because it was like queering this like lowrider culture
mm-hmm.
that was really cool
mm-hmm.
with like, you know, trans people and like gender fluid people like recreating these like super macho masculine scenes, and it was really really cool. And
oh,
I was so
awesome.
Happy to, and the photos were really great.
Were they tin types by chance, or were they sort of
I think they were like
regular
print like ink prints okay. whatever,
because Carrie does a lot of those tin types. She was one of the artists who was doing that.
Then there was a documentary in the Black Box with like Mexican American queer people talking about like growing up, and this guy was telling this really intense story. It was very moving. And then going out and seeing the mural that's still all burned,
still burned
and stuff. And like, but people had like written things in chalk on the ground to
oh,
like support the gallery and
so
support
cool.
the artists. And I loved it.
That's awesome. Do you know how long that show is up? No, it is awesome.
I think one more week. I loved it. Sometimes I think I'm, not that the work wasn't moving in its own right, but I think I get in a special mood sometimes where art's like really coming right into my heart brain. Do you ever have that?
Yeah, I think it's, I feel like it's, that's easier for me to access when I'm not in the Bay Area.
Okay.
Just, I think it's, I'm in a different place when I'm like on vacation or in a different area. Like you're just more open because you don't know anything, you know?
Sure.
Also, I think sometimes that comes through a little bit more easily.
Also, there's this thing called Stendhal syndrome that Andrea Fraser talks about.
Also called tourism disease. The term Stendhal syndrome was reportedly coined in 1979 by the Florentine psychoanalyst Graziella Margherini to describe the symptoms she found to afflict many tourists to the city, in some cases even driving them into psychiatric wards. The symptoms I found listed include, in addition to dizziness and exhaustion, nausea, disorientation, panic, paranoia, and temporary amnesia.
Is that, that's a real like syndrome?
Stendhal syndrome.
That's like me when we landed in Hawaii. Well,
I think it's kind of Europe related, but
it's specific to Europe. You can't experience that anywhere else. That seems
nope,
kind of
just Europe. It's
Have
a
you ever
good
had an
article.
Experience where you've just like started, well, you seem to cry a lot, but like, like maybe I'm like, that's weird to ask you that. Have you
like
ever
crying
cried
at artwork?
Is she talking specifically about artwork?
Or just like about any cultural places, you know. But have you cried about an artwork?
No.
You've never cried about any artwork?
No.
Even a movie?
I've certainly cried at movies.
Yeah. Or what about a performance?
I've cried at music performances.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they were?
Well, when I was younger, I used to cry a lot whenever I heard gospel music.
Uh-huh. That's weird.
No. Well, live.
That's weird because that wasn't really part of like your family's religious tradition, was it?
But I mean, it's very moving. It's,
totally.
If someone's singing well, it's pretty powerful, actually.
But definitely.
And it's only live. It's never just listening to it on CD, record, tape, whatever.
I've cried at paintings.
That's awesome. I just haven't had that experience.
But it was more about like the aura of the painting than the content, like than the painting itself. Like last time when Katie and I went to LA last year, we went to the Getty, or maybe it was LACMA, and they had a Thomas Eakins painting that was like, Thomas Eakins was one of my favorite painters in college because like this teacher I really loved showed us his work.
Yeah.
And so it was like all tied up with like being young in college and this teacher that I really admired and like my lost youth and mortality.
Oh my God. Wow.
And so that painting made me cry, but it's just these two wrestlers and Thomas Eakins like gay way of painting dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And I also cried at Antonio Lopez Garcia has a picture of like this dead child in this coffin.
Wow.
And I didn't even see it in real life. It was a reproduction, and that one made me cry. That same teacher that Thomas Eakins reminds me of cried when she saw the David.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Because it was just so beautiful.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Remember how you touched that?
I didn't touch it.
Hey, Maysoon.
Hey.
What if we ever said anything on the podcast? This is kind of going meta, except we talk about the podcast on the podcast all the time. Anyhow, if we ever got approached by a venue or something where we said something about them and they were like, you got to take that down and you got to blah de blah, which kind of happened with the International Art Museum of America, but we don't take them seriously. What if SF MoMA came at us with all their claws? Legal clauses and physical nail claws.
I feel like, put your claws away. Let's have a conversation.
But would you bow down to their pressure?
No.
Would you?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I think
let's get a really good mind experiment going.
Okay.
Okay. Say we knew Jiminy Jenkins was having a show at SF MoMA.
Okay.
And we knew that the curator said, you've got too much naked
too
penises.
Many dicks.
We both went for dicks.
That's just the easy target. You got too many dicks in your painting. It's just not appropriate for our audience.
And the board members are angry, especially Charles Schwab.
Charles Schwab's going to care less about dicks.
Genitalia. And we're taking it down. And then you and I, Maysoon, had Jiminy Jim Jenkins on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about it,
yeah.
And SF MoMA got wind of it before we even put the episode up, maybe.
Yeah.
And they were like, look, you can't be talking about the inner workings of SF MoMA, and we're coming at you with our legal and physical clauses and claws. I think because we're recording this, you really have to bring your A game. I wonder if you would say something different off mic.
Oh.
What do you think?
Well, I guess I would want to know, if the artist is talking to us about it, if we got wind of it and we asked the artist to come on the show and talk about his experience, her experience,
Jiminy Jenkins,
their experience. Sorry. I don't know. I think I'd be like, you know, we're having a real conversation about this. I think.
And
I'd,
you'd be like, fuck you, SF MoMA. We're going for it.
But I also do think that I feel like our approach with that artist would have to be professional and like, we couldn't be like, SF MoMA sucks. I can't believe they did that to you. Like, I think we'd have to present it in a little bit more professional light. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? where we couldn't swear at all?
Well, we
that's all we do on this show.
No, swearing is fine.
Okay.
But I don't. I think I would be uncomfortable sort of demonizing the institution.
Would we have
outright.
To like ask them for a comment and like do
I think so.
We have to be a journalist?
I think if we didn't,
so
I think if we didn't, that might be the sort of the response from them is like, you know, can we at least give you our feedback, our take on it?
Uh-huh.
And I think we've done a number of things like that where we've said something.
People get mad
and we say, hey, why don't you come on the show and we'll interview you about it.
Yeah. Or we'll read their statement.
And then it's really kind of up to the audience, our listeners, you listeners, to make your own judgment call or to make your own decision on
what you think
is going on based on what we've said, what the artist has said, and maybe what that institution, whatever group has said.
Uh-huh. So,
I mean, I think you can read through bullshit pretty easily.
Bullshit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, whatever. We could give anyone that option to try to explain themselves, but I think
so. We wouldn't.
Bullshit is still bullshit.
You wouldn't bow down to SF MoMA's panoptical gaze.
I don't think I would bow down to it. No.
Okay. Panoptic. I think just panoptic.
Panoptic. Yeah.
Point is, Maysoon, I feel like it's easy to say this now, and I'm glad we got it on recording.
Okay.
So we will have to live up to it later because everyone will know we said
this. But we've already done this. You know what I mean?
But not like SF MoMA. Not like a big deal place.
I'm curious to see. Right. No, I hear you. I think I'm sure I would have more stress about that situation than I'm showing right now.
Well, I'm glad we have this because, listener, now you can hold us to it. Except you won't know what's going on, listener.
You know, I think Art Practical is supposed to be publishing something by Rula, like a response.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they have yet. It's kind of, I don't know what's taking so long.
Will you re-explain to the listener what that was all about?
Oh, yeah. So Rula Sikali, who is a local writer and curator, wrote a review about the show
Portraits
and another Likeness at the Museum of African Diaspora, which was a collaboration between that museum and SF MoMA.
Yep.
And so Rula wrote this review
on KQED.
On KQED's blog. SF MoMA didn't like it, right? Isn't that what we're assuming?
Yeah. This is kind of our interpretation.
Basically, the review was somewhat condemning of SF MoMA's relationship with the curator and probably Moed
and
itself.
SF MoMA was like, you didn't talk to us, you didn't interview some other people involved in our end with the show.
And basically the review was pulled. So that seemed like there was definitely some pressure towards KQED, right, to pull the article. And so they pulled the article with no explanation. Was there an explanation?
I think later they printed a redaction or whatever it's called, retraction.
Retraction, yeah. Something like that. And then Rula, I think, is supposed to be writing kind of a follow-up on that whole experience.
Is that still happening?
Maybe a week or two ago, she's kind of thanked everyone at Art Practical for giving her that room.
Did she do it and we just didn't see it?
I
feel like it would
know.
Be on blast.
I think that there was like a take on it that Rula was really kind of going after SF MoMA and not necessarily reviewing the show, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, like the focus could have been on reviewing the show. I think there was also discussion of like there was no disclosure. Sorry. There's no disclosure that she was a former employee of the Museum of the African Diaspora and that there's
that Rula was?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She worked there a number of years ago. I mean, not like most recent and certainly not current, but that there's a lot of like built up relationship already within that role.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if I were to talk about anything SOEX is doing, there's clearly like my experience as someone who worked there for 5 years is going to be coming through. And so it's like you have to really work to like not to try to keep that unbiased to some degree.
Yeah.
So I think there was a lot of things also that kind of were at play that were not maybe clearly given to the reader that could have, like, there should have probably been some disclosure that she was a former employee.
Yeah.
Just so that people know. Just they can maybe read into that maybe a little bit or have that information as a way of understanding where she's coming from, or she obviously has more insight on how that institution works.
Goodness gracious. I just would hope that whenever the time comes for us to have to stand up in the face of fascism, that we would make the right choices.
I think we can.
And now we're obligated to, since we're on the record saying that we would.
Great. We should. I mean, the whole point of this podcast is to
say fuck you to everyone.
Not quite that.
What do you think about it?
I mean, we're not here to appease people. That's not what we're doing.
What are we here for?
I'm not sure what we're here for, but it's really not to make everyone to say yes to everyone.
Right. What do you think about it, listeners? Give us a call, 419-351-6606. I can't tell you how frustrating it is to be standing face to face with somebody saying, oh, I listen to the podcast. I love the podcast. And then I'm like, oh, did you call in ever? Did you email in? And they're like, no.
I would never email or call in. As a viewer, listener.
You never email?
No, never.
I was just on one of my favorite podcasts.
You're just because you're on one all the time, basically.
You mean like I'm on one?
Like
I'm acting a
fool? You're on one. You're acting crazy.
Point is, 419-351-6606. You can also text that number, email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Or you can tweet us at @PineTreePodcast. Also, P.S., I always forget to tell you this in case you don't know, but our website is congratulationspinetree.com.
Whoa. Roosevelt is a mighty fine man, darling. Roosevelt is a mighty fine man, darling. Roosevelt is a mighty fine man, gotta be the president of our land.
Let's do some redactions. We haven't redacted anything in a long time.
Okay.
I'd like to redact everything I've said since the last time we redacted everything we said.
I want to redact what we just said about calling out the big guns.
What do you mean?
I'm never going to talk against the big institutions.
I will bow down to anyone.
I will bow down to anyone.
No, I redact us just saying that just now.
I know. I'm just kidding. I'm not really redacting that.
Is there anything else we need to redact? Did I call anyone else a reptilian shapeshifter that I shouldn't have? I don't think I've been saying anything too controversial. Controversial?
Controversial.
I don't think I've been saying...
That was stupid. I redact that.
I don't think I've been...
I redact. You can go ahead. I won't redact it.
What?
Whatever you need to say.
I don't know.
Do you need to say anything?
I don't think I've been saying anything too controversial lately. So I don't feel the need to redact
too much. Do you feel like you're going against yourself? Do you need to go ahead and say something controversial?
Oh, like what? I'd love to.
Why don't you get it out and then we can
redact
it.
Oh, remember how Soex is on the balls of Do-Re-Mi bullshit complex? See, you can't let me say that. See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, there are a lot of things we can't say.
Well, it's also just because I don't know why. I don't
Should
have
I
any information.
Beat me when I do say that, and then we'll have this conversation about how we can't talk about what we talked about. And then we should also tell the listeners that there's some news that's really going to shock them that we know about, but they can never know about.
No. First of all, we already talked about that. So.
Anyhow.
But why? I don't understand. That was so confusing. I actually did a word search in that press release. For Southern exposure, and they're not mentioned anywhere in the press release,
no,
so I was so confused.
They're just in the same neighborhood area.
But their logo is on it. Their logo is on the press release. I do not understand.
Are we allowed to say all this?
Yeah.
Have we said anything of substance on this whole episode?
I think we totally did.
Okay, great.
Maybe
well,
it was
we
more.
Were just
it might have been a lot
Soex
of off the record.
And the Do-Re-Mi Lunar Foundation.
That's not Lunar Foundation.
Anyhow.
We mentioned this group about a month ago.
They're rebranding the neighborhood.
They're rebranding. Well, are they rebranding the neighborhood?
Yeah, they're calling it Do-Re-Mi.
Or are
Dog
they calling
Patch,
their complex Do-Re-Mi?
Mission. They're trying to rename the neighborhood.
Which neighborhood?
That
wherever
they are.
Where
Remember,
they're
you were so yeah. mad about this.
I know. I just don't like the renaming of things. It's like erasing history.
Well, it's such a red... flag, like that's what real
too.
Estate developers do. Like we had that in Oakland, the Kono
right.
district, and like
what's the Kono?
Koreatown, Northgate, something.
That's bullshit.
And everyone's very mad about it because it's not like the people are like we're deciding this is what neighborhood
yeah.
this is now. It's real estate developers coming in, taking a neighborhood that may be unappealing to like new homeowners or business
new
owners.
White rich people.
Exactly. And trying to make it like jazzy and fun so that people feel safer.
Right.
Yeah. So even if they even if they don't have that intention, the action of doing that, of renaming neighborhood, brings that up, and that's why it alarms us.
Yeah, it's very alarming. I think it should be, and I think they should be questioned about it.
Are they going to come on the show?
I don't know. Part of me doesn't want to give them the doesn't really want to give them the time. The like the highlight, the spotlight.
Is it okay that we're saying this?
I don't know.
Are you going to ask me to take it out later?
I don't know.
Anyhow, if the Do-Re-Mi people want to come on the show,
we'd love to hear from you guys.
Or if you just want to send us a statement, we'll read it. And you can say, you need to stop talking shit about us. Not really. But they seem like they have a lot of connections in the art world and a lot of people backing
them. That's because they're collectors. Of course they do.
Go on. Okay, we redact it.
Redact it all, you guys.
Okay. Okay.
Dear Jennifer Walford,
we will now be doing an incantation in the preservation
of Jennifer Walford,
who is in the typhoon zone right now in the Philippines, slash also around Hong Kong and traveling in that area. And now we will do our incantation as a protection enchantment.
This is the incantation.
And an invocation. Okay, ready, begin.
That was it.
No, we're invoking it. Ready? She sings without words. Don't die in a typhoon.
Why are you crying? She's going to be
fine. It's just all the singing makes me emotional.
Jennifer Wofford and Kyle Herbert, we wish you the best. We wish you health.
Wait, we got to end our incantation.
How do we end it?
Okay, we're burning the sage. We're spinning in three circles.
We have...
We're clapping three times.
We've made a circle of sweetened condensed milk on the table. That's for the spirits to be satisfied.
And I also would like to extend this incantation to anyone that may find themselves in harm's way over the next week or two or a month and engage in protection and sovereignty.
No.
For all.
Sovereignty.
I don't know.
Stop it.
Okay.
Is this our new segment? Incantations.
Yeah. Incantations. I love it. Congratulations! You listened to another episode of whatever the fuck this is.
Are you okay? Is everything all right? What's going on?
Why do you keep listening to this show?
You must be a little bit crazy.
You need to call someone. You need to call an adult. Still getting our sea legs under us after our hiatus. This is our third episode.
Wrap it up.
So thanks for bearing with.
We love that you do.
Have a great week, and obviously...
You know, it's kind of already midweek by the time they've heard this. Happy hump day.
People. Oh, happy hump day. That's great. I woke up in morning.